you all, and especially those that are new faces amongst us. Especially want to say welcome to Wayne Pahl, who's been out in Saudi Arabia, and welcome, Wayne. Good to have you here with us. This isn't hot, Wayne, eh? This is winter in Saudi, is it? This is cold. But, and Ida Gogo, who worked for us for many years, has come to visit us, was part of us in those early stages. Gogo is a great evangelist, and Gogo, great to have you here with us today. She's visiting us. I just want to pray a blessing upon you for 2019. You know, we need the Lord, and He's for us, not against us. And I tell you, we invoke the heavens, open up the heavens, that God release it over us, and that our ways would be prospered. You know, God wants to do that, and I want to pray that of us as God's people here in Modderfontein. Father, I thank you for your blessed people. Lord, you've gathered us in your name, but Lord, you've called us to do great exploits. And Lord, we're not about ourselves, but about advancing your kingdom. But in that, Lord, we need to be blessed by you to see the fullness of the provision of Christ working out through us. And Lord, I want to release all that you have for us through us and to take to this dark world that they would come to know you. But Lord, yes, bless us individually, bless us in our corporateness, bless us in our workplaces, bless us in our families. May the hand of God's favor and the hand of His grace be upon us in all that we do. And Satan, I want to remind you, we are God's people. We are blessed, and whatever you're trying to bring against us, as the scripture says, we need to resist you and you will flee. So we take authority over every outwork of darkness from Satan himself, our enemy. We resist you and tell you have no authority over anyone in this family in any way. And we command you to go in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Craig mentioned we're starting with prayer this week. We earmarked it in the calendar as prayer and fasting. But as I've been spending time with the Lord, He really put in my heart is that fasting is important, and we need to fast. It's part of what we're doing, God. But I didn't sense the Lord say we need to fast this time. Rather, a time of focused prayer. And what I mean by that is that we've got to rise up more in faith. I really believe there's an expression of faith that God wants to do in and through us. And the next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're going to be bringing topics to you. And we're going to be trusting God to break through focused prayer. And I really do believe, even in your personal life, it came through the prophecy today that Elijah, a man like us but yet righteous, prayed and the heavens were changed. And God wants to use us. And I really believe, you know, Yonge Chao preached and said, sometimes our prayers are so broad and nebulous that God can't answer them. We pray for the world. And yeah, that's great to pray for the world, but when we start to identify our prayers and we make them specific, and that's what I mean about focus, that we can hone in and believe, and Jesus said, speak to your mountain and believe what you say to your mountain, ask specifically, and your prayer will be answered. And I really believe God wants to use us as a people in our personal lives to be very specific in our prayer. So we've named it focus prayer, and we're going to be praying for 3 days with focused prayer, praying for our nation, praying for aspects of the church, praying for individuals. And we want to just trust God that as we come and ask God specifically, He will change. I really do believe, as we were in the prayer meeting this morning, is that God hasn't created us just to be measure temperature, a thermometer, but really to be that thermostat. Those that are mechanical understand that when you put the thermostat on, it brings a different temperature and changes the whole environment of an engine. And that's what we need to do. We need to be change agents. And I really believe God's raised us up as a people to be change agents. And even in your businesses, in your families, you cannot be complacent in prayer. You have to rise up in this matter, and God wants us to rise up, and we change the places we work in, we change our families if we stand and ask God in His name, and He will answer us. Amen. Can I pray before we come to God's Word? Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this new year, and Lord, as you have opened up the Scriptures, I ask that you bring revelation to every one of us, that every one of us would be encouraged, that every one of us will be stirred, and every one of us will rise up in faith as we hear what you are saying to your church this morning. I ask you to bless the word, Lord. May it not be robbed, may it find root, and may it be established with deep roots and get stem and leaves and bear much fruitfulness in every one of our lives as this word starts to find root in every one of our lives now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to cover over the next while a topic called Abiding Christ. I'm taking a lot of my reference from the book by Andrew Murray, and I've been reading through it, and it's been so impactful upon my life. And I really do believe it's in line with God's vision that God has given to us, is to know our Lord Jesus Christ. And part of abiding is an old English word, and I'll explain it a bit more, but I believe this is an essence of living this fullness of knowing Christ. During the life of Jesus on earth, and I don't know if you understand, under the Jewish culture, the rabbis, the teachers would raise up disciples, and it was common knowledge at that time when a rabbi came to you and asked you to come and follow him, he would teach you and take you for a period of time, and the Lord's disciples was a period of 3 years, and he taught them what was on his heart, and we know it was from God himself, God the Father, to teach them. So Jesus always came to these disciples and he said, follow me. And he said that to us also, as we've come to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be his disciples, and he's called us to follow him. But I really do believe is that it wasn't only meant to be just following him. And the Lord gave us a glimpse of that from John chapter 15, where he called us to an intimate spiritual union with him. And he used the words very carefully, where the Lord actually said, and we read from the King James Version, where he chose the words, abide in me. And the text that I use this morning is from John chapter 15, verse 4. And maybe if you can get your Bibles out or get it out on your phones. But let's read the scripture. And I know it's a small scripture, but it's going to be something that we're going to carry, and we're going to trust God to break forth into our lives. So John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The word in the Greek for abide is meno, and it's a primary verb that means to stay, and the English has translated it as abide, to continue, to dwell, to tarry, to endure, to remain. But the translators haven't always been consistent to use the same word as we read in our English Bibles. And my perspective, I think we need to go back to the Old English and understand this, the profoundness of this word called abide, to stay, where we need to stay in the Lord and he needs to stay in us. And we need to understand this and grow into this. In church history, we see that there have been many earnest followers of the Lord. They've come to understand who he is, but haven't walked in the fullness of the promises that he's given us. And I really believe this aspect of abiding in Christ has been hidden. And a lot of the church, I believe, has been hidden, hasn't walked into this transformation and this renewal where the Lord wants us to be in this intimate fellowship with him. A lot of people are still walking in the process of following the Lord and haven't gone to the next step of being intimate with him and abiding in him. Paul gave us a glimpse, and we read through the Pauline epistles where we read that he tells us, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I want to just say today is that I really believe all of us, we cannot just be followers of the living God. We've got to be ones that are abiding in him. Now, what is the promise of following? The promise of following is that you'll be a disciple. But when you start to abide in the King of Kings and he abides in you, become a son and daughter of the Most High. Isn't there a difference? When you're a disciple, you're doing the things and you want to do things right and your heart is correct. But when you become a child of God and a son of God, the game is different. Because all of a sudden, you're part of something that is magnificent, something that is wonderful, part of a family, and something of an intimacy of God that we have never appropriated. Because you see, followership can be at arm's length, but abiding is intimate and one. It's a relationship, it's a union with him. Now, Jesus has come to set us free. We've come to take away our sin and bring us into new creation. But also he comes with an invitation. And you see, when Jesus comes with an invitation, you do not have to do it. And the scripture is quite clear, is if, the New King James says, unless you abide in me, you do not have to abide in the Lord. But I want to say we should abide in the Lord, in him, because when we abide in him, we take hold of the fullness of everything that he's acquired for us on the cross. And you know, all of us are a bit ignorant when it comes to that fullness. We do not understand the fullness. The Holy Spirit has to come and reveal to us what have we received when he invites us to abide in him. I believe much of the church, and I'm trusting even us, we cannot just live a normal life. And Craig encouraged us, the life that we got to live in this realm of in our Lord and knowing the fullness of that. And I want to just say is that God wants us to go into this depth of this oneness with him to know our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, this is a journey. We will preach today and we'll preach over a number of weeks and we will preach into this and you'll come to an understanding of that. But it's something of an individual nature. It's you personally. I have to abide in the Lord and so do you. I cannot force Nikki to abide in the Lord. I cannot force my children to abide in the Lord. I cannot force you to. It's a choice. It's a faith action that you have to do to find this depth and this wonder of who Jesus Christ is. This is a journey of a wonder what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us. And I believe it's for every single one of us. And don't stay out. Don't just stay as a follower. Come into this depth of knowing your living God. Many, many do not enter into this. Why? I believe the evil one is against us and we have an enemy. And I want to tell you emphatically, folk, you have an enemy called Satan. We do not focus upon him, but he's against you. He's about to destroy you. He wants to take everything that God has provided for you and rob you of what God has given you. And if you do not realize that you've got to fight to fight and that you've got to rise up in the day when evil comes and stand against the evil one and to push back the forces of darkness, you will be overrun by darkness. It's our responsibility. And in same in this area of delving into this road of discovery, into this depth of who Christ is in our lives, the evil one will come. And 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, those minds who the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The evil one comes to take away any understanding of what it is to be in Christ. And you know, the world is very powerful, and the systems of the world are very powerful, and we all fall prey to that. We've all come out of the world. But to go into this depth of abiding in Christ, you're going to have to partner with God, the Holy Spirit, like you have never partnered before. It is easy. It's childlike. But it's got to be something that you want to determine in your life to come into this. Why has the church come short of the full salvation prepared for them? And I'm not here to judge in any way. I believe, firstly, it's ignorance and there's been a lack of revelation. But people perish for lack of revelation or vision, as some of the translations say. The revelation hasn't come. Secondly, I believe, is that God's people haven't sought after him, haven't sought him with all their heart. You know, seeking God is a difficult thing because he doesn't just want little of you, he wants everything. You know, when you get to know Jesus, he doesn't just want a little part of you, he wants everything. But let me tell you, when you give everything, you get everything. That's the secret. And so many people are scared to give up their lives and to give up everything for him in totality and give up ownership of their lives. When you do all that, you find the fullness of him. Then, as I've just mentioned, thirdly, is that the enemy comes to blind and to rob us of who and what Christ has given us. And then fourthly, I want to just say there's been a lack of preaching. I believe a lot of preachers, and sometimes even including myself, there's been a lack of revelation of understanding what it is to abide in Christ. And a lot of the times that there hasn't been balance in the preaching, there's been much preaching when it comes to salvation and atonement and the pardon that we have received through the blood of Jesus, but have neglected to preach what it is to abide in Christ. And I want to rectify that, and I want to just trust is that the Lord's going to open up to us, that we're going to find and get on this road of discovery of what it is to be in union with and to be one with Christ and to abide in Him. The next point is, how can we make disciples if we're not true disciples? And as I've mentioned even earlier now, in Matthew 9, verse 9, as Jesus was a rabbi and He spoke to Matthew, He said to Matthew, come follow Me and be My disciple. But then in John chapter 15, verse 4, as I've said to you, abide in Me and I in you, and a branch cannot bear fruit by of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. And this is a profound portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. And I read it from the New Living Translation. Not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to Me as Lord, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey My Father in heaven. On judgment day, many will tell Me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in Your name and cast out demons in Your name and performed many miracles in Your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Go away. The things you did were unauthorized. And you know, I really believe it's this aspect. I never knew you, the Lord says. People had never made this transition to come to abide in Him. They got into performance mode. They got into the aspects of doing. And when they're doing, they got confidence that they're doing the right thing. And the Lord comes with this word and says, I never knew you. Now, folk, may that never be for any one of us here. May we not do church. May we not do Christianity. May we be in a place where we know our Lord and know Him intimately as He's come to live inside of us. And this is a journey for all of us. You know, a lot of young Christians don't know this. And they get into the process of church, the church process of rules and regulations. And they get fed up with it because it ends up with death, because it never produces life. But when you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ intimately on a personal basis, it doesn't matter if you've been walking with the Lord for many years or you've just come to know the Lord, this will be absolutely profound. The Lord wants us to grow and to know Him. We even heard this morning through the prophecies that came through. He wants to be our all in all. He wants nothing less than that, and we got to fight to ensure that what He does in our lives. So over this next while, I really want us to come to an understanding, to understand the wonder of who Jesus has claimed to be, what it is to surrender all, that we will find what it is to abide in Him, to taste and see the sweetness of this life that He's given us, and then to bear fruit that will bring glory to Him and draw others to Him. So there are many aspects of what I want Him to do with this, is how to live with Him in our redemptive state, how to live day by day, how to live in the stillness of knowing that He's in control, how to know the power of prayer. There's 31 topics I want to cover that we're going to go through over the next while to understand what it is to abide in Christ. So practically, as we look at this thing, I've put it before you what God's intention is, but what causes us not to abide in Christ? And I've got some 2 points at this point in time, and I'm sure there are many others, but I really believe, firstly, it's superficiality and passivity, is that we do not understand this high calling that God has called us to do, that we never get into the depth. We keep on the surface. We never get into the depth of understanding what God has actually given to us. We always remain on the top, and we never go deep. And I think it was the prophecy this morning of the picture on the beach, that many were in the little waves, many, but there were few that were out in the waves out there. And to be honest, when I go to the sea, I have a great respect for the sea. And to go into the big waves, ek is bang. My son, Andrew, and his cousin, they get on that boogie board and poof, they're out there and they're brave. But I'm telling you, by faith we can. And we cannot just be on the verge and not take the step of faith and to go into this depth of what God has got for us. We've got to go into that fullness and find that we're no longer superficial, no longer passive, and we can grow into that. Now, what's going to happen this year is that we've started the year, the children have gone to school, you're going to go back to work, and I promise you, busyness and all the things of life are going to come against you. And what's going to happen, which is the first thing that takes the knock, is your relationship with your Lord. You work late, you can't get up early because you're tired and you can't spend time with your Lord. That's when all of a sudden this relationship with your Lord, and you start to move not out of intimacy from one opportunity to the next. You move from one challenge to the next, and you move from one problem to the next. Life becomes problem solving, and it's not opportunities to enjoy the Lord and to make the most of life. And I want to just say we can't allow superficiality to become our norm. We have got to go deeper. I said the end of last year, I love you to come and say to me, the Lord told me this. How many people are hearing God? How many people are actually listening to Him? I heard a gentleman the other day, and I'm not criticizing the church in America. This guy came and spoke to him and said, we're going to go and wait upon the Lord and ask Him what we need to do. And the guy said to him, do you still do that listening to the voice of God stuff? We have got to be in that place. That's part of abiding. Otherwise, you become, what actually happens, you start to become business-like, you become worldly-like, and you do things in the flesh, and you ain't going to find God. And we've got to do it so differently because God wants us to go deeper in Him. We cannot be shallow. We cannot be shallow. Yes, some of us are in different depths of walking with the Lord, and we're not all perfect, and we're all learning this role. But from the youngsters, from you, from the teenagers, to us that are older, we need to grow deeper in the Lord. And this is what it is to spend time with Him and to allow Him to reveal Himself. Now, I've got a thought here about not being shallow. So often we can be in a place where we do the things that are right, and we have no connectivity with our Lord. You can be reading your Bible. You can be praying. You can be doing and obeying, but there's no connectivity with the Lord. Craig said this morning, he went through his checklist what to get to church, and the Lord said, what about me? And he went back, and he connected with the Lord. That's all our problems. Every single one of us, when we get up in the morning, we do the religious stuff, and I'm including myself. We can get into, the religious stuff can be quite legalistic. I must spend a time with the Lord. I must pray, and I've done all those things, and you tick all the boxes off, and then you're confident. But where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And this is what abiding is in Him, of finding Jesus again. We don't only meet Him on the day that we get born again. It's got to be a daily experience. It's actually got to be a moment-by-moment experience with Him and knowing Him within us. Jesus walked with His disciples those 2,000 years ago, but today He walks with us in us. Do we recognize Him? Do we honor Him? Do we find this intimacy of this wonderful God who lives inside of us? Now, many religions of the world will tell you all the things that they do, and they do all the right stuff, but they don't have a personal God who lives inside of them, who's walking with them. Whatever you are facing, the sickness, the problems, the opportunities. He has this God that wants to live inside of us. And you know, in Revelations, the Lord warned the churches there, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, because of their relationship with Him. He will have no other foreign gods before Him. He will have no other idols that you love more than Him. He must be first. And I've seen over my life, when you put Him first and you allow Him to take up His rightful place in your life, that's when you start to find the fullness of Him. You see, it takes time to grow into the vine. It takes time to grow into the vine. And I'm asking you to connect with your Jesus. That means to abide, to hear His voice, to feed upon Him, and to wait upon Him and allow Him. Can I say, I'm talking to myself too, even your times, your quiet times in the morning, if the Lord directs that you're just going to spend time with Him and He says, worship me today, please be free to do that. Don't get into the ritual of doing the seemingly the right thing. We're all disciplined, and I think the majority of times you're going to find that we've got to find those things. I believe even in here, I might come, or the preacher might come, and we're prepared, and the Spirit of God says, no, today we're not going to do that. We're going to just pray for one another. I think we've got to be like that. And this is what it is, walking with the living God. Jesus did exactly what His Father told Him to do, and He went from village to village, but He said, that's not my time. And this, just walking in the divine for every one of us, it's there for us. You know, and so often in the church, the people look to the pastor. I'm saying, folk, no, we should all be on the same level. I've got a different role, that's all. But we serve the same God and the same opportunity to live in Him. And you know, when this becomes a reality in our lives and we find Him, this is the fullness of what God intended. When God created the heavens and the earth, this is what He intended, to walk with us, to fellowship with us, for us to hear His voice and to do what He tells us to do. And then enjoy life and enjoy Him. It's not that difficult because, you know, a lot of the times, I bet you the new year came and you put the goals out and we sat down together as a family and it was lovely. We put our goals together, what we're going to be doing this year and what we want. But is that all? There's more on a daily basis. God has got so much more for you in what you need to do. And yes, there's good. It's good things to achieve and to achieve at school and achieve in the workplace and do these things. But you know, that simple obedience when the Lord says, just go and hug that person or pick up the phone and phone that person. I think that's the key at the end of the day. The key also, I think in this whole thing, it came out also to me, is to love. And when we love one another, we love one another in our families. So many people are empty of love. The world out there needs love. And we're scared to go and share that love with Him. You know that. We're scared to go and share that with Him. It's not only Jesus loves you, we love you. Because Jesus is inside of us. And as we begin to love people and nurture them, I'm telling you, people are hungry for that. People do not run away from love. They run away from churchianity. They run away from things that are religious. But if you love them, they won't run away. And we've got to do that. And I just know God wants to teach us so much more when it comes to these things. So will you put yourself in contact with the living Jesus? And I want you, over the next while, to be reading this portion of Scripture from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. I'm not going to read it through now, but it's talking about I'm in the vine, and Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And if we take hold of this, and we're going to explore this, and just allow God to do that in our lives. So before I finish, I want to read up. I had to get my car battery changed, and the gentleman that sold me the battery on his invoice put this on the back of the invoice, and I read it by chance, and I want to read it to you. The touch of the master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it's scarcely worth its while to waste much time on an old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "One of my bidden good folk," he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two. $2, who'll make it three? Going for three, but no." From the room far back, a grey-haired man came forward and picked up a bow. Then wiping the dust off the violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet and caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now, what am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow, $1,000. "Who will make it two? 2,000. Who will make it three?" And going, going, gone, he cried. The people cheered, and some of them cried, "We don't understand. What changed its worth?" Quick came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man in life is out of tune and battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game he travels on. He's going on and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never quite can understand the worth of a soul that is changed, that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. And that what it is, we seemingly are worthless. But when the master who abides in us starts to take and plays his tune through us, and the world sees there's worth before the Father and the worth before one another, who we really are. So my challenge to you today is to recommit yourself to Jesus. You might believe in him, you might love him, but this life that we live, we've got to be committed wholeheartedly to Jesus. And I'm asking every one of you today, whether your life is all together and either you might be far away from the Lord, I want to ask you to commit your life, not just this year, your life to Jesus again. A recommittal. And I'd like us to stand. And if that's you, I'm standing because I can do nothing apart from you, and neither can you. Can we all stand? And I'd like to recommit ourselves to our Lord and allow him to use our lives to glorify his name. Amen. Can we hold hands? I think that'll be wonderful if we can do that. Father, we understand from the scriptures that apart from Christ, we are nothing. And Lord, you've called us into this vital, intimate union with you and fellowship in you to bring glory to your name. And Father, you see us as a people that need you. And Lord, we stand before you in humility with bended knee, in reverence and awe of you. And Lord, we come to recommit our lives to you again. And say, Lord, will you take our lives and use them to bring glory to your name? As we open up our hearts, will you fill us again with your Holy Spirit? And will you take us on this road, on this journey to learn and to know you? We know, Lord, this is a divine work. This is a work of you, Holy Spirit, that can only bring a revelation of who you are. And I pray that from the youngest to the oldest, that, Lord, that you would open up the dimensions of the heavens, that we would understand the fullness of Christ in every one of our lives. And I pray, Lord, as this journey starts, may it be filled with your joy, may it be filled with your power, may it be filled with your grace and your mercy, that we'll be able to honor you and glorify you in all that we do. So, Father, I commit your people to you. Take us on this journey to abide in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. God bless you all. Those that are visitors, please come and join us for a cup of coffee and tea, a free cappuccino. And please don't rush off. Let's fellowship together. Thank you. And parents can go and collect their children. Thank you very much.